Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We're going to dance.
This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader 630 CHED.
Okay, the United States beating Canada on a 3-on-1 with a minute 22 left in 3-on-3 overtime. 1-0 the final in that game. So the United States will get the top seed for the quarterfinals, which are on Thursday. Canada will finish second in Pool A, so they take on Sweden, the second-place team from Pool B. So what they do with this term is they put the top five teams in the world in Group A, and then the next five best teams in Group B. Everybody in Group A makes the quarters, and then the top three teams in Group B also make the quarters. So it'll be Canada and Sweden on Thursday. Exciting overtime there, but the United States wins it 1-0. As we update the scoreboard for Cougar Paint and Collision, our family helping your family for 40 years. NHL tonight, Penguins and Leafs 2-2 with 4 minutes left in the third. Overtime looming. Golden Knights and Canucks start in about half an hour. Oilers' next game is Wednesday. They host Vegas, 5 o'clock for the face-off show. Game will be at 6:30. Blue Jays up 4-0 on the Mariners in the middle of the seventh. Home opener for the Blue Jays. NCAA Men's Basketball Championship final game. Connecticut leading Purdue 14-11. They are about 6.5 minutes into that game. All right. Yeah, it's the end of the... So somebody is getting some nice money tomorrow in the office pools. If you fill out a bracket, I am not in the one that I went in. My buddy in Calgary runs that one. I don't know if Michelle Plouffe does it, but Michelle Plouffe joining us on the show. Great to have you on the show. Do you fill out a bracket for either the men's or the women's tournament?
I didn't this year, Reed. I did it back in the day, and now I just sit back and enjoy some good basketball.
Okay.
Much more enjoyable for me.
No stress, and you can't lose even $10 if you don't go in, right? So
exactly.
That's good. Hey, thanks for hopping on tonight. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. A few things I want to hit on you with. Do you sit, like, I know you love basketball, but I don't know if you watch every game. Like, are you watching UConn and Purdue right now?
Yep, just got home, so I'm just going to flick them on. So I'm excited to watch. I've been following more this year probably than I have in many, many years because I've been home, so it's been exciting.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, so two number one seeds. Purdue has a Canadian player. I think UConn was the top team for the whole tournament, though, right? So
yeah.
I guess they'd be considered a bit of a favorite. So the women's game got a lot of attention this year. Not that it hasn't in past years, but I think the whole Caitlin Clark, the scoring sensation, getting the NCAA record, and then making the final. As someone who played NCAA basketball yourself, what was it like to see the attention that Caitlin Clark brought to the women's game?
Yeah, I think it was really, it just made it a lot more fun that more people were talking about it, more people were watching it, and obviously, you know, they put out a good product. There was some great basketball, and she definitely did a lot, I think, for women's basketball this year, or her whole career, really, of just bringing attention. And people love to watch players like her that can put up points, that can have triple-doubles. And, yeah, they put on a show. So I was happy that they didn't disappoint in terms of entertainment, that's for sure.
Now, everybody can look at the stats, but you have such a greater technical knowledge of the sport. What details or subtleties of her game make her such a great scorer?
Yeah, I think you can just definitely tell. I can tell anyways, just the reps that she's probably put up on a daily basis. Just based off of, one, her stats, but also just her basketball IQ, the plays she makes. There's times where she, you know, puts up half-court threes, but there's other times where she plays super unselfish. So I think it's also her basketball IQ. And there's a lot of great players also that are out of this class. But it's definitely fun to watch as a basketball player, just knowing that I think she'll definitely do well at the next level as well. So it's fun to watch those players in college just kind of tear it up, and then we'll see what happens next year when she's in the WNBA. So, yeah.
Okay, so you played in the NCAA Utah. Your sister Catherine played at Marquette. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because we've seen, even in your lifetimes, and you two of you are still relatively young, younger than me for sure, like there's been an increase in the exposure for women's sports, the following of women's sports. Like when you were on campus, what was the following like compared between the women's? Well, I guess maybe you can't speak for Marquette because your sister was there, not you, but I'm sure she's told you stuff too. But like, what was it a huge difference? Was it about the same? I'm just wondering.
No, it's huge. We played in the Huntsman Center in Utah. So it's the same gym they use, which is seats about 15,000. It's a pretty nice stadium. We got about women's basketball pulled in about 500 people on a good night. So it's been cool to watch. Now they're selling like 7,000 tickets, and the Utah women, and they've also just performed really well in the last couple of years with their, you know, All-American Alyssa Peely. So they've been fun to watch, and it's also just it warms my heart that people are actually coming out to watch, and they're obviously putting out a good product as well. So that helps when the talent goes up, people want to watch, and when they know about it, they want to watch. So it's really cool to see like my school, who I never thought would really get around women's basketball. They're more of a football school, women's gymnastics. But the women's program has definitely grown, so that's been fun to watch.
Okay, I'm surprised that the attendance wasn't more, because I feel like collegiate sports in the States are probably...
It really depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Even like schools that you would think, like Washington, before Kelsey Plum, had, you know, scattered fans. And after a couple of years of her being there, they had a bigger fan base. So it definitely, like when the women's program is doing well, it definitely brings more fans in. We were like in the Mountain West, we were doing well, but Mountain West wasn't really a big time conference, and we switched over to the Pac-12 and didn't do so hot. So it really depends on the state, the school, the city, and like what they rally around. So
now, would the women and men play on the same night, or would you have totally different schedules?
Totally different. Yeah, so we never had back-to-backs or anything like that, which could have been fun.
Well, right. And I think in Canada, that's what we're used to. High school, university. I mean, the Pandas and Golden Bears play, I guess hockey doesn't, but volleyball, basketball, they'll play their games back-to-back, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, so that was different there as well. So you were in the Mountain West. Was it? Mm-hmm. Would you fly everywhere? Were there bus trips? How did that all work?
Yeah, flew mostly everywhere. BYU was like up the street, so we drove there, and it was like Colorado. We had Texas, TCU. We were kind of all over the place, but mostly flew because there was some long trip
spread out, obviously in the West. But BYU was like literally, I know you said up the street, but it was
maybe like 45 minutes.
It was okay. So I'm just wondering, like, was it just the next neighborhood? Or is,
basically in Utah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was a bus trip for sure. Hey, Michelle Plouffe joining us on Inside Sports. The last time I saw you in person, I think, was when you and Catherine and your teammates were winning the Edmonton 3x3 event, once, which you've won several times. Did you finish the year ranked number one?
Yeah, we did. We went to Mongolia, and that was where the World Tour final was, and we won the final on a very, very close game against France. So we finished number one back-to-back years, so that was pretty awesome.
All right, so you guys are doing great, and what's the 3x3 schedule? Or maybe it's started already, I don't know, but you'll have to fill me in.
Yeah, so we have a tournament, a World Tour. The first stop, really, is in about 2 weeks in Springfield, Massachusetts at the Hoops Hall of Fame. They're hosting the first stop, so that's April 23rd, 24th. We'll kick off the season, and we go essentially right from there to our Olympic qualifying tournament in Japan, which is May 3rd to 5th. So that will be our first chance to qualify Canada for the Olympics this summer. If we don't qualify, we do have a second chance qualifier about 10 days later in Hungary. And now it will be May 16th. So we have another shot at it if we don't do it the first time. So it's about to get started here, Reed.
Okay, I'm glad I asked you this because I can't remember if it was 2016 or 2020, and those Olympics, I think, got delayed by a year. But was that not the year you guys were also number one, but Canada didn't get a spot because the women's side as a whole wasn't strong enough to give the Federation a spot? I remember being quite angry about that.
Yeah, that was 2020.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
They have changed the rules since then, so that's good. But yeah, we didn't get into a qualifying tournament because of the ranking and rules process. So our team did finish, I think we finished first or second in that tour, but just based off of the ranking points, we didn't get into a qualifying tournament, which we were, you know, pretty upset about it. But makes this journey quite a story. So we're looking forward to getting two chances this time.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to get in. So we'll keep in touch around that as well. And we should point out, you have been in the Olympics on the, what do we call it now? The traditional team?
Yeah. The 5-on-5 team. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say normal basketball. That makes 3x3 sound really kooky. But okay. So would it be, well, I know I'm getting you to ask you to speculate, but would it be different going with the 3x3 where, you know, you're one of the stars, whereas in 2012 you were more of a, I know the Olympics is the Olympics, but your status on your team is different than it was 12 years ago.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It would be completely different, especially with the journey that we've had in getting here and in even making a program from the ground up has been, it's been a challenging road, but definitely just a lot of wins along the way. And now we have a real 3x3 program, which has been just cool to be a part of, and would definitely mean, I mean, the Olympics were the Olympics were a cool experience, but definitely more fun when you've just played a large role, I think, in getting there and in contributing. And I would feel much more impacted by this one than the rest, I would say, just on a personal note.
Okay. Well, we'll keep in touch, of course. I know it's going to be busy for you guys, and you'll be sometimes on the other side of one of the oceans, but hopefully we can get you or Catherine on as you qualify, because I'm confident that you will. Hey, thanks for doing this. I hope I didn't drag you away from the title game for too long. Now you're free to watch it.
No. Thanks for having me, Reed. Always a pleasure.
Right on. That is Michelle Plouffe, great Edmonton athlete, her and her twin sister, Catherine, of course, part of that number one world-ranked 3x3 team. And if they play to their potential, they're going to be in the Olympics for Canada, which is pretty cool as well. Good stuff from her. In that game, by the way, 21-21, UConn and Purdue, 8.5 left in the first half. We will go to Red Deer. No, we're not talking about Cam Moon. We're going to talk about a star player from his former team as the Rebels have advanced to round two.
For all the news and expert opinion. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Chad.
Face off to the right of McCallum. Bounces around Parsons. Plays it off the end board. Puck out into the slot. Lynn shoots. Scores! Kalen Lynn! Overtime winner! And the Rebels have come all the way back to win game one in Medicine Hat. Rebels pick up the loose puck. Josephson backhand toward the net. Utah's Lynn scores! Kalen Lynn with 0.9 seconds left on the clock. Rebels lead 3-2.
Oh, some drama for the Rebels in round one as they beat Medicine Hat in five games. Troy Gillard on the call, by the way, from the Rebels Radio Network. Thanks to him for sending us those clips up tonight. Two big game winners scored by this gentleman, Kalen Lind, who joins us now on Inside Sports. Kalen, my name's Reed. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Had you had a chance to listen to those calls before tonight?
Yes, I have a couple times. I think me and the boys watched him a couple times after the games. We were pretty excited and everyone was pretty happy. It was pretty awesome.
Okay, so let's flash back there. First of all, game one in Medicine Hat goes to overtime, goes to double overtime. First time we've ever, is that the longest game you've ever played in, or what was it like going through a double overtime game?
Well, actually, when I was 16, when we played Brandon, I went to a triple overtime game with them, and it was actually a pretty cool game. We went to, it was game six, and we actually won the series. Jaden Grubb scored the overtime winner. It was awesome. It was so cool for a team. And then, obviously, yeah, it was quite an exciting game. We were down 4-0 and kind of low spirits at one point, and then we just stuck with it, though, and kept our game, kept playing, and I found a way to get back in it, and then we got to double overtime, and I just found that puck in the slot and was so thankful to put it home and just end that game and get it over with.
I was just following online, and sometimes you guys were playing while the Oilers were playing, so I was given scores. Medicine Hat won 3-1. Game three, you guys won in overtime, and then your goal in game four, I think it was originally with 0.9 seconds left, and then I think they added time, so it was 1.7, but basically a sudden-death goal. And were you guys on the power play late in the third period?
Yes, we were on the power play late in the third. I think they took a penalty with about a minute left in the game, and we had like 10 seconds left, and I looked up, and our D-man had it, and I was like, oh, we better shoot here soon. And then it ended up finding its way to the net, and it hit Uch. Uch a great pass to me back door, and I had an open net, and it was just, I was very fortunate and put it in the net, and everyone was super excited again, and everyone was so happy after that game. It was a huge game for us to be up 3-1 going to Medicine Hat.
Yeah, and then you guys put it away. Weren't you guys up 4-0 early in game five? I think you guys really came out hot in that one.
We were up 2-0 in the first, and then I think we were up 3-0 at the end of the second, and then it was, I think the end was like 5-2 or 5-3, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, 5-2 in that one. So, now you got to get ready to play Saskatoon. Really good team. That series starts on Friday. They beat PA in five games. What's your scouting report of the Blades here?
They got an awesome team. You know, we played them last year. It's kind of a little bit of a revenge tour for us, I'd say, but they got a really good team, really well-experienced team who's been through the playoffs a lot of old veteran guys who have a lot of skill and can score a lot. They obviously are the number one team in the Dub this year, and they are the number one team for a reason, so we're going to have to come in here playing our game and just kind of working as hard as we can and just doing what we can to kind of get the success that we want to have in this series.
All right. Was that the 3-0 lead you guys had, or was that a different series? I'm not trying to put you through bad times again, but I guess that galvanizes you for this year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I want to get to know you a little bit as well. Where'd you grow up? What was your minor hockey journey, Kalen?
I grew up in Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, small town. We have a pretty big farm down there, around 12,000 acres, and I grew up kind of hardworking family, very competitive. I have three siblings, one brother who is with the Seattle Kraken organization. He plays in Coachella Valley. And then I have a sister who was the captain of St. Cloud, and she graduated this year. And then I also have another sister who played hockey in Lethbridge.
Oh, amazing. Okay. So your parents must be incredible athletes then.
Yeah, very incredible athletes. Yeah, and we kind of all grew up playing minor hockey in Shaunavon when we were younger, and it was awesome playing with all our friends and stuff back home. And then we went to Swift, and then I played my midget year in Saskatoon, but that was COVID, so kind of didn't really get to do much. And then then I came up to Red Deer after that.
Red Deer, a very proud franchise, a lot of history there. What's it been like being a Rebel?
It's awesome. You know, we have a top-tier organization here. Brent takes care of all of us so well, and they kind of all treat us like we're professionals and get us ready for the pro level and get us ready to go. So it's awesome that way, and we all are kind of, if you stick around here, you got to know you're a good character guy and you're good around the room, because Brent will make sure of it that you're a good guy, and he likes those guys around the room. So it's awesome being a Red Deer Rebel.
Last summer, you were drafted by Nashville in the second round, 46th overall. What's your draft story, Kalen?
It was awesome. I went to the draft with my family. It was kind of the first time that all of us get to be together. We got a pretty busy family, and it was so cool. My bigger brother being there, he's kind of my biggest role model through my life. I've kind of looked up to him my whole life, and kind of being with my family and everyone else was so cool. And then the draft, I kind of, when it happened, I just blacked out and got so many texts from friends and family, and just everyone I was so thankful for and who helped me along the way and to help me where I've got to in my hockey career so far.
All right. You grew up in Saskatchewan. I know the Oilers have pretty good support there. I know there's a football team that wears green that is quite popular. Who are some teams or athletes you've looked up to as you've been growing up?
I really like the Riders for sure. I grew up a Rider fan. I like the Blue Jays. I've been watching the Blue Jays pretty close this year. They're supposed to have a pretty good team this year. And then I was a pretty big Oiler fan when I was younger. They've always caught my eye. My family was always Oiler fans, so I watched them lots growing up. And then kind of Shaughnessy Badgers, the senior team there, was kind of my idols when I was younger. That's what I always go back and watch when I was like 5 and kind of young like that. And it was cool seeing all those older guys too, even when you're young like that.
Kalen, congratulations on those big goals and on the Rebels beating Medicine Hat. You got a lot of energy. I've loved having you on the show. Good luck against Saskatoon in round 2.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Awesome stuff. That is Kalen Lind from the Red Deer Rebels, man. Huge goals in the first round. A great interview as well. Maple Leafs beat the Penguins 3-2 in overtime. McCabe got the winner. Blue Jays leading the Mariners 4-1 in the 8th. Canada lost 1-0 in overtime at Women's Worlds to the States. 4 minutes left in the first half. Connecticut leading Purdue 30-25. Thanks to Jeff Walker, your studio producer tonight. Dave Campbell, the producer of Inside Sports. My name's Reed. Talk to you later.